Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
Especially in the younger dogs, you know, if you establish this in a younger dog, the majority of the time it will go on through life, really accept and structure and rules and boundaries in life.
It will choose it.
Yes.
And you can have it free range, but it's going to choose the structure that you've established.
Yes, because you've done it over and over and over, repetition. It makes it, it's just like, for me, like kids, if you have kids that brush their teeth every morning, after a while, they'll just go brush their teeth every morning. You don't have to be like, did you brush your teeth? Go brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you don't ask them that for a while, or if you don't go assist them with it for a while when they're really young, then they won't get in a repetition of brushing their teeth every morning for maybe the rest of their life. It's just the way life is. And if your dog always leaps off of his place, being a couch, chair, floor, bed, wherever, open door, crate, if every time you get up and go to the bathroom, your dog leaps up and follows you, you could be starting to get into a routine that is going to end up being separation, stress, anxiety, all of those things with your dog, because of the fact that your dog can't imagine you going all the way in there without them supervising you and making sure that they're with you. And there's so many things on here that this has to do with. Like you've talked about not having an off switch. This is what an off switch is to me. Is if you've trained on your dog enough, then you've taught it and you've placed it and you've created this routine that you can lay there while I go brush my teeth and not be like, I gotta go, you know. Then you're starting to prevent the stress from your dog if you have a puppy that you're training to do this, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think that people don't realize how much fun you could actually have with training your dog to do this. I watch you do it all the time. I did it a lot differently when I started my pups than what you do. But my pups, I didn't start them to be somebody's house dog, friend, buddy, you know. Mm-hmm. I taught my dog to go out here and lay in a field while I worked five other dogs and wait his turn, you know. Mm-hmm. Or lay there and wait for me to ask him to move for working cattle, you know. But it all comes back to the same thing. We've set up a structure in a puppy's life that they can go through life with and follow that routine, like us going to work. You know, some people don't go to work, I guess. We pay for them to live with our tax dollars. But if you get a working person who works all their life, you know, it's to me, if you have, like, I love my job I have now. Even building fence, I love building fence too. But the biggest thing that bothered me with that was employees, you know. And now we have a really good group of people that work with us, and so it makes it a lot easier to work with day in and day out. But if you get this dog to where he has a switch to ask him to lay down, and you can, like us, we train four or five other dogs while we have dogs laying around in round pen, and some of them are on tie back, you know, if they're newer to it. But once they get used to it, we don't do that, and we place them on beds, crates, platforms, all the above. But if you only want to scream, holler, and scold your dog for being wrong, mm-hmm. it's really hard to teach them to be right. I see people use a lot of praise by just wanting to hug their dog because he stayed on place for 2 seconds, you know, or 2 minutes, where we are more Like, we'll pet
I think them. That's where, like, part of the reason I put this on here is that if you, if the praise becomes less of a reward for a good behavior and more of just affection and loving attention.
You're losing.
Yeah.
You're losing again. Yeah. Because
you're not really training, then now you're just...
hugging your dog.
Yeah.
You, the human, has found a reason to give their dog affection.
And I see it in lessons all the time where you tell someone you just gave the dog a hug or a cheeseburger and they literally look at you like you spoke in a different language.
Yeah.
But what it is that when your dog does something good, and this is the dog, and you're like, oh, what a good job, and they did it like mediocre, and you start loving on them and petting them and caressing their face, and your relationship with them is so much more, I love you so much.
And giving them kisses, you know, right in the middle of a lesson. And I tell them, the dog didn't jump over the moon. You know, he didn't even head towards it. You know, and you're giving him all this affection. And it's exactly what you're saying. For me, like, if I'm trying to recall a dog that's really not wanting to do it, you know, man, when he starts coming at me, or look, I'll clap my hands, pat my leg, good boy, you know, and that's totally different because I'm not begging and pleading my dog to come to me. I'm just letting him really know that that's a good thing to do. Now, as he gets better at it, I'll be like, good boy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just okay.
Unless it's like, well, yeah, yeah.
If he's stuck again, then yeah. I'll make it a lot more.
That I call that like the gas pedal
of
how much praise you're giving. And there's some dogs who are like, oh, no, I don't want to do the wrong thing. And we'll like slam on the gas pedal. Good boy, come on, good boy. Pat our legs. But sometimes you can cause a dog who can't hold still stress because you hit the gas pedal when they're already in third gear RPMs at 8 and you cause their cortisol levels to raise because they're already revving out and you're like,
now jump up in your arms.
Red zone RPM. Yeah, exactly. And then their RPMs are way in the red zone. You hit the gas pedal way too hard and then you get after them for jumping on you. It's like,
Bro. It's a human error. But the biggest thing is for me is when the majority of the time, if I'm doing something in a lesson, not as much with training now because you've been here long enough, but I can make a mistake with about any of this stuff and the person that's with me won't know I did. And I don't stop and explain it. I go ahead and work my way through
it. Oh, like if you offered too much affection and then it kind of got the dog in trouble, you can back up really quickly.
Yes.
But that's because of your relationship
with
the dog.
Right. But then once I've done it, then I try to find a spot to explain to the person that's apprenticing with us or here for a lesson. I try to explain to them what I did so they can understand it and maybe they won't do it, you know. And so it's really hard to get into this spot where the scolding your dog, you know, is so... people misunderstand it. They misunderstand it. They think if we use the e-collar, we're scolding our dog. I'm not really scolding my dog, in my opinion. Now, you can call it the same difference, whatever you want to call it. But if my dog knows to, let's say, drop a stick... like in the other day out in the woods, we had a dog that tried to possess a stick and by God, himself in trouble and all of us in trouble. But if I could have had the e-collar and just touched it, he would have just spit that stick out because he knew he was wrong, but he was only wrong in a less energetic setup. We had him out with like 5 or 6 dogs and his owner was there and we were running in the woods and it all still went so well, but it all went so well because all the socializing we've done here, we've limited the affection a dog gets here, you know. The dog has an off switch. I mean, we worked all of those things into being able to move on out to the bigger areas with the dog. And for me, it's like... on here, we're going to talk about a dog not sleeping. And it's hard for a dog to get good quality sleep when their anxiety level is so high, their stress is so high, because they're waiting for mom or dad or whoever it is.
And this kind of goes back to the free range.
Yes.
That they're not really getting quality sleep. And people always have such a facade that my dog really lays around most of the day, yeah, or they're running around outside. But when they do relax, are they getting up if the doorbell rings? Are, yeah, they getting up? And not even the doorbell. You know, the doorbell's going to set a lot of dogs off, and maybe you live out in the country and you're okay with your dog letting you know someone's there. But there are so many things beyond the doorbell, like you getting up to go to the bathroom, you going to get snacks out of the pantry, opening the fridge, the back door, yeah, all those things that the dog that's resting is up. It's up. It's up.
And
it's up.
Some
it's
people,
never really like in a deep sleep.
Yeah, and some people think their dog gets the rest because he's on place for 2 hours while they're sitting over on a typewriter.
Sometimes.
But if your dog has been trained to have the off switch, you can do that with them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I feel that...
The only way you can count place as rest is if the dog's actually zonked out, not,
yeah,
if it's...
And you can get up and move and he don't bounce, yeah, up on the floor, yeah, at all 4 feet. Which way are we going? You know,
yeah,
that's what makes it so hard for people to realize that their dog may be laying there with one eye open, you know, and watching them and waiting for them to move. And we talk about it with Bear and Scout, you know, we leave them out here and sometimes for hours. And I forget Bear all the time out here in the round pen. It's covered for anybody on here that's not, don't think I leave him out in a blizzard for hours. But he's out here in the round pen on his little pedestal, perch, whatever you want to call it. And I leave him there all the time, but he'll sleep. I mean, I leave the round pen and he don't even raise his head.
Yeah.
He's in deep sleep, snoring, working cattle in Montana or something,
yeah,
you know. And so he doesn't bother him for me to leave. And this is what makes it so hard for us to explain to people the difference when you take your dog home and... Whenever you, it really hurts people to crate their dog with the door shut, you know.
I think that people think that the stress is induced because they're not getting enough attention, they're not getting enough love, their feelings are hurt that they're no longer sleeping on the bed, they're stressed because they have to go in a crate, they think they're stressed because they have to walk on a lead. When in fact the stress is because for so long they've had so much uncertainty.
Yes.
And now this is new to them. And like part of what I want to talk about is when people come for that first lesson and the dog is in distress, it's so hard for people to even learn why they're stressed. Often they immediately think they're stressed because I took them to board and train.
Yeah. And if the people would watch our videos, you know, we try to put videos up. I put them up on my personal page, but we try to put them up on Dog Teacher page or Instagram or Facebook, TikTok, wherever y'all put videos up. But if you watch on there, you quite often you'll see your dog on there. And we don't always, tag the person with the dog. Because sometimes we'll have 10 or 15 dogs out playing at one time and we'll just make a video and post it, you know. But a lot of times if you watch and see if your dog can go out there, and they will be out there, you watch them how cool they are and how much fun they're having. But sometimes when the owner shows up, and I did it the other day with some dogs I had out, and the owner showed up and it was their second or third lesson, and I had them come and join me. And man, as soon as they come in, their dog's right there.
And panting. And
don't want to leave. I'm scared to death. The world's
yeah,
bad out here.
Yeah.
And it's because of the stress and the anxiety that the human creates.
I think that's...
By not having separation and off switch and
yeah,
the control setup.
I need to post more of our training, but I'm always so focused on training. I think that's why I post every week. I try to post dogs playing and having a good time.
Yeah.
And I'll throw little training moments in there. But I want people to see that experience you have in the round pen when we're so serious and we're lecturing you about how much you need to change your relationship and how much you need to do this work and you need to do boring things with your dog and practice them doing nothing, is because if they practice that, when they go and have their free time, they're like, they don't have shit to worry about.
And all the dogs,
their whole end day is clear. Yeah. Yeah.
All dogs end up doing this with their owners if their owners don't slack off, weaken, quit, try them, whatever you want to call it. Because there's not any dog that's going to be worse, really, than your dog was, Kay's dog was, Ryder, you know, dogs like that. But, and you don't have to come to work here to fix that problem, because Kay didn't.
Well, I had to fix volunteers. It when I didn't work here.
Yes.
Yeah, I was
Kay quiet. Volunteers here, but her dog is so cool. Both of her dogs now, because she got a pup too. But their dog is so cool because she has the off switch. She leaves them here once in a while, not a whole lot, but once in a while she leaves them here. Normally, if she leaves them here, it's because I get on to her for not leaving them here, because she hadn't done it for a month or two, you know. And whenever you board dogs here, but Kay's kind of like me. She don't go on vacation either, so she don't really need board dogs nowhere. But if you get in a routine with your dogs to where you can, especially if you could drop them off here for boarding after they've been through training, and you can come back and pick them up, and you can make them behave in the sally port, and put your leash on them and walk them out to your car without them dragging you down, either in or out of the barn. You've been doing something right.
Yeah, you know? we can tell pretty well, depending on how the dog reacts.
Yeah, if you show up and we take them into the sally port there, and by the feed room for you, and they're jumping all over and bouncing all over, and you're trying to hold them down and stuff, they might still have a little bit of anxiety, stress, you know, in their life.
Excitement, yeah.
But it's still, if you're at the point where you can bring them here now and they're good while they're here and they're pretty good when you come to get them, you can do some more training on them and make them better, you know, and have fun with it, I always say. But
do we have any questions, comments?
No, you just have a bunch of people saying hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Paula said stress and anxiety is a good choice. I don't know who it is, but Mama BRRR said good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sure. And then you have Rochelle. She said, good morning, Bianca and Marvin.
Good morning.
Hey, Rochelle, I've had you on the back from down at the river the other day, even though you wasn't here, and Bianca probably won't tell you.
No, he did. Yeah. He said he did a really good job.
Yeah, she don't want to tell you because it, like, sometimes it hurts.
She thinks
her.
All the podcasts, I think, are about her, but some of them, it applies. It's just coincidence. Yeah.
The whole thing is, Rochelle, this could apply to, like, 1,000 people that I know.
Yeah.
Maybe more if you don't count the people that we actually work dogs with.
Yeah.
If you just talk about family and
now I will give Rochelle credit points for when she hears this stuff, she works on it, you know?
You know, for me, why do people not see this sooner in their puppy life and fix it?
Sometimes I get mad when you don't understand why people are so bad, you know, with their dogs. Because,
I'm listening. Hello.
You are just different, you know?
I'll take that as a compliment.
You can take
I know you weren't
you
expecting it to
but
be
I
a
think sometimes, because you don't fall for the gimmicky stuff on the internet, sometimes that, I'm not done with what I'm saying. Sometimes I think you can be out of touch with how brainwashed people get by social media. And I think you know, like, you know what when did the dog industry boom and when did dogs get so bad? You said Windows 98.
Like, yeah, it's
like
back 93.
AOL is when
it
got bad, and I totally
worse.
Believe that. But,
and then COVID even stepped it up a
but at
bit,
this
you know?
Point, like, in your mind, you tell someone their dog, I'll say you're changing, but like a year ago when you tell someone they need to have their dog off the bed for a while, you can't even begin to understand why that's difficult. You know, like, you don't want a dog on the bed. You don't ever want a dog on the bed. It's a clear boundary that you understand is good for the dog, and you don't need it. I think that we're just going to get into the way too deep of a subject for a
Marvin
podcast.
Yeah, there's no way out for you.
But no, I think sometimes it's hard for you because you can't even relate to how you're so codependent on a dog. You know?
You know, I've never been that way really on anything. I mean, if I have a sport that I do, I'm really competitive.
Yeah.
But I don't ever blame the other person because I'm not better. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I feel like you just went to left field.
You what?
I just feel like you went to left field. I think for people,
if you, like me with a dog, people see my dog. Let's say at a dog demonstration. They call it something else, the fancy words, but when I'm working cows with my dog.
A trial?
No. When I'm doing a...
Like a seminar or something? Yeah. Okay.
So if I'm doing something with my dog, and let's say my dog's 50 feet away, and I'm talking to a group of people, and I'm like... And my dog lays down. They're like, what'd you do? I just told my dog to lay down for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he did it. I'm like, well, yeah, he did it. But when I started, I kind of, well, it's a lie. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I wanted. I told Jody I wanted a cow dog to help me. And so I already had a dog relationship where they weren't my lap dogs, you know, in which most people...
They were working dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, they had
a
job.
Or just my buddy.
Yeah, they were your companion, yes. but they were working dogs and they had a job. You did not get a dog to hang out with all day.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have a dog just to hang out with all day.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So for the people who... And we're kind of off course a little bit, but it all comes back...
We're not,
back,
though. Yeah.
It all comes back to stress and anxiety. If you can get your dog to just be cool and you be a cool leader, you can skip all this scolding and screaming and hollering and cussing, you being miserable, your dog being miserable, if you will take a deep breath and listen if we're talking, which some people do, some people don't, you know. Some people want to get opinionated and some people want to get offended and some people think that we're just out here to be mean, you know. I've had people say I was a prick, you know, because I told them the truth. And we're not ever here to do any of the above. We're here so everybody can have a dog like Scout and Tilly and Rebel and Cy and Coda and Concho and Ryder and Libby, and all of those dogs had their different quirks. Like Libby, kinda. If you're a stranger and you walk in Irene's office here when the kids are here, Libby might. She's going to threaten you. I don't know if she would bite you, but I feel if you grab one of her kids, she would bite you. You know, but at the same time, Libby stays in there all day in a crate and goes in and out and plays. And with all kinds of dogs, too, you know, little dogs, big dogs. And I don't really notice her just getting to Irene and staying by her ankle when she's out there.
No, because Irene's done a lot of work realizing that was causing Libby stress.
Yes, and so she just went ahead and started fixing it without Irene. It hurt her feelings, you know, for a little while when she realized what she was doing. But instead of sitting in the corner and squalling, she just stepped up to the plate and started doing this, started working on her off switch, started making her dog sleep while she's in a crate, not barking at everybody who walks through the barn. You know, she started giving her less affection, maybe, but she still, her kids might make up for the affection when they're at home. But Libby probably still gets on the couch in the beds and stuff. But she's really good for what Irene wants and what Irene does, and Libby has a great, fun life. She's not running around biting people all the time and always getting in trouble, you know. And for anybody to get here, one thing for me is you need an off switch. You need to be able to just have your dog go place and lay down and take a nap while you're socializing or whatever you're doing, you know. And if for socializing your dog, you know, you have people who want to drag their dog over to their friends and make their friend pet them when their dog doesn't want to be petted. And that's when you get bit. And then if you have the dog who's already stressed out and has anxiety, and you're not learning how to control it, you start letting people in your little bubble and dogs in your little bubble, and that's when you get dogs that are reactive, you know, and it goes on to another subject that we talked about. So all of these things just make one big circle. But for me, the way to stop this, a lot of this is the off switch. And just if your dog's not aggressive, of course, just leave your dog alone and let it go say hi to people without jumping on people and without people oohing on and wanting to hug your dog, you know. And all of this stuff, you can start helping your socialization. You can start helping your affection by your dog, because your dog can leave you and mingle with a group of people before you get a chance to get that dog sleeping on your lap all the time, sleeping on your bed all the time, going everywhere you go in the house, you know. Every time you go to the store, you take your dog with you, you know. And it, like Bianca was saying earlier, if you get on the internet will kind of tell you to do all those things that makes a really good business for us.
Take your dog everywhere. Give it loads of love and affection.
And treats and cheeseburgers.
Spend $1,000 on lick mats and, yeah, and chewy toys. And don't get me wrong, I spend money on toys.
But, me? Yeah, you
but
do.
But the enrichment I provide for my dogs is like playing outside.
Somebody asked me the other day about brushing their dog's teeth, you know? And I think it's a great thing if you want to brush your dog's teeth.
It'll probably save you money when they get old.
But if I want to brush my dog's teeth or trim my dog's toenails or give my dog a bath, personally, I'm not going to have to drug my dog. You know? I'm going to train my dog, especially if you get it as a puppy, from the time it's a puppy, by the off switch, letting it rest, letting it relax, teaching it to be crated, teaching it like I see, and you talk about it on your podcast, or you will if you haven't. I see you with little puppies in here, even though their toenails don't really need trim, but you're already working with their toenails.
Clicking the thing. Yeah,
you're working with their feet, you're looking at their teeth, you're looking in their ears. Yeah. You know, I mean, people just don't, I don't know why they don't do that. They do it with their kids, you know, if they have kids. But a lot
that is socialization.
It is. And a lot of these people who have dogs that we deal with either don't have kids right now, you know.
Yeah.
Or their kids has grown up, moved out. And so they got them a new puppy or whatever. And then they really have a hard time with it. And for me, and I tell people all the time, because I am a little bit older, you know. But I tell people all the time, it's because for me, for us, you know, the people who are 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, we get these dogs, they do, and they kind of get them to hang out with, you know, because their kids are gone, their grandkids don't come see them all the time, and they don't have a lot of company, and they want a dog to hang out with. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that the majority of the time, that same person, even though they're a little bit older, they could go through what you're going to have one day, a book or videos on how to start your puppies right, you know, or the way we feel is right. You can go through that and still have fun with your puppy and get yourself off the couch.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself out of the recliner and get yourself out there and doing something with your dog and your puppy and having fun with them and training on them and end up with that really cool dog. But the majority of the people that are in this situation where they have a stressed out, high anxiety type of dog, sometimes they don't know it until someone gets bit. Or they have a bad dog fight. Because they think, oh, my dog just loves me. He don't want that dog over here. He wants me to give him all my affection and attention. And he does. But he'll fight for it one day if you ain't careful, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets the people in so much trouble with the high anxiety, stressed out dogs. And it's really hard. And don't nobody misunderstand it. It is really hard for an owner who created this dog to fix this dog. Because you're trying to fix this dog and you're trying to fix yourself at the same time.
Truly,
and that's for us normally with a dog that has a high anxiety stress, no off switch, you can't lay him down, you can't crate him, you don't haul him in the crate in your car, he tries to bite people when they go in your car or come around you to give you a hug or handshake. We don't do lessons with them. I mean, we do board and train because every time we're around this owner and the dog, we take a chance of someone getting hurt, someone getting bit, even the owners, you know.
Sometimes, and even if it's not a chance of getting bit, it's just too stressful for the
hard
dog.
It's, and the human.
Because the dog the is so, but yeah, but I don't care if it stresses the human out. It's too stressful for the dog when there's this person who's led them to believe this is the way I live.
I think
life.
You're being mean.
I'm not.
Where's that,
I'm not.
Where's that,
I'm not,
where's that at on here?
It's not. I'm saying I can deal with owners being stressed because I can help explain what's happening.
Yeah,
because
you've been there.
And hope
it
for them to rehabilitate it. But I can't stand watching the dog be so lost because they have these deep core associations of this person that's present, which is why we want to be fair to the dog and be sure they understand some other things, so when we try to address problems within the human and dog relationship, we have some other things to work with the dog.
And you see with me,
and yesterday, perfect example, I watched Bruce's brain go, do I do the old thing or do I do the new thing? I think I do the new thing, but this is hard. Do I do the old thing or do I do the new thing? The new thing, but this is hard. And it's way harder if he doesn't have. I watched his brain resort to the thing he knew was right, even though it was hard. It's way harder if he doesn't have practice at what he's supposed
he
to
does.
Do.
And that's why we had them to do extra lesson, you know. And it's still going to be hard on that dog and that owners, the owners, one of the owners at least, if not both.
That's a perfect example of why I want to talk about this stuff, because I don't know why we do it, but if you go home and you feel bad for a dog like Bruce, not saying they will, but if they feel bad for a dog like Bruce and they skip placing him and they skip crating him because they feel bad, even if you get yourself in a little bit of trouble by not following the rules, we still want you to get a hold of us
because
and that's where I give Marvin credit that he's changed, is that you are really understanding now how deep the emotional attachments
are. Well, but I always defend
the
dog, and I've been to court, you know, and I tell people I'm always, when a human and a dog comes here, I represent the dog.
Yeah.
If it pisses the human off so bad they have to call me a prick and leave. They don't normally call me a prick to my face. They leave and then they say somebody else.
Well, this has nothing to do with Bruce or any of the dogs.
No, not Bruce
dog.
No, either. We're off Bruce already. Yeah. But it's just people in general, you know. It really, and now, like Bianca said, now I really try harder to help fix the human.
And understand.
Because
it.
I've seen so many of them over the years now. That it's really hard on that human that owns the dog. Once they get there, holy shit, they're so happy. They're like, God, I wish I had a weekend and gave in 6 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, but they just have a hard time because they think they're not being fair and they're being mean to their dog, which is just the opposite. You're being mean to your dog and you're not being fair to your dog by not fixing your dog and standing stressing yourself out as hard as you need to. To get there, you know, don't worry about yourself. Whenever you see the end results, you'll be all right. But some people want to debate with us, you know. Some people want to argue with us about why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why don't you do this?
I wouldn't frown upon that. I think it's really great when people ask
questions.
Well,
when they ask questions and they're nice about it, you know. But here recently we had somebody came to us, and it happens once in a while. They're having trouble with a dog, and they want us to train their dog, but they want to tell us how to do it. It's like, well, you're kind of in the wrong spot, you know. It's like, for me, you know, and building fence was the same way a lot of times. A lot of people wanted to tell me how to build their fence, and they had no clue, you know. And so I wouldn't do it. I'd do it the right way, or I didn't do it at all, you know. But other times, once in a while, I would go to a human and they really knew how to do it and they would tell me what they wanted and it would work. But with the dog world, the stress and the anxiety level, I haven't found a person that comes here that says, oh, I need to leave my dog here. We need to crate my dog. We need to make ourselves better. We need to find more things to do with our dog that helps us train our dog rather than just turn them in the backyard and let them play. That don't fix stress and anxiety.
We get a lot of people who come in and they want to do the training program and they want to skip the crate.
Yes.
But it's like you could someday, and there are a lot of people who don't need a crate. You should always use it so your dog's comfortable in it. But even if your dog doesn't need it, it's like this is a part of a recipe to help your dog feel sure about their routine, feel like they have a safe place to go rest, get quality sleep. We're not going to skip that.
And there's still people who skip it. And then they come back later and be like, well, and yeah.
There are people who wean off of it, but they've kept up on everything else that if they said, hey, go in your crate, I'm going to leave for 2 hours, they could.
Yeah.
And that's the hard part to put in a book.
Yes.
Is that...
Anytime we give an inch, the owner will take a mile.
Yeah.
You know, like me here.
But it's okay if they take a mile if... They're willing to back up two miles, but not always, because
if you go too far on your freedom, you're going to have to back up, and then how far back up do you have to go? Sometimes it's which freedom did you slack on, and then how long did you slack before you're like, oh man, I really need to fix this. My dog's already trying to dog fight again. If you got to that point, you got to back way up.
It depends so much on what your dog's problems were.
That's what I'm
what
saying.
You're working but if on. You slip the age so, of the dog, the yeah. breed of the dog.
But if you slip so far, you're letting your dog try to dog fight again and try to bite people. You can't just do one little thing backwards and usually fix it. You got to do some serious soul searching on what did I do so bad to let it get this far again, you know.
Right.
And people do it. I mean, and like Bjork said, well, go. We don't. I never give up on anyone unless they give up on us. If they give up, then I'm not banging to come back.
Just go down and see Joe Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to keep trying, then we're willing to help you, you know. So do we want to talk about these now?
I think you need to, yeah. You can't just talk about what people can't do.
Well, I was just going, could you ask me earlier, which ones do I want to talk about?
I know I took the other ones away that you didn't talk about.
Oh, you didn't tell me that part. This is that partial instructions. So, affection and boundaries. You know, and we talked about the affection quite a bit. This goes back to what I started to say a while ago about someone said, I said their dog could never be on the couch or the bed. I never said that. But I think that's a privilege. It's almost more of a privilege for the owner than a dog, you know. If you can't make your dog be good and train your dog to be good and keep your dog being good, then you shouldn't have the privilege to let your dog on the bed.
I have said that to people.
Yes.
You have to earn this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of dogs, and I've heard clients say it, if they teach their dog to sleep on the floor in a crate at night and not be on the bed, after a while their dog's like, I ain't sleeping on that bed. You're too restless.
Well, and if
I can't get no rest. You roll and toss all the time.
Yeah, and if you're a total pushover and you can't hold your dog accountable and you don't ever offer any consequences or discipline for unacceptable behavior like growling at people or lunging at people and not letting guests get near you or other dogs get near you, then that's what I want you to touch on is like the variety of privileges that owners can earn based on how well they do with the boundaries and how serious they are. Because once you've earned the, I really am your leader and I really do stick to rules, discipline, and boundaries, then you can offer more affection, but it's really hard for people to make that decision on their own.
You know, you see people do that with their child sometimes. They've got it. Let's say a 7-year-old kid is being a little bit ornery in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the parent and the kid's, I'm good. That kid has boundaries and it has rules and it has leadership and it has consequences, you know, for not respecting that person when they look. And dogs are kind of the same way. We do it all the time. We can look at our dogs all the time for being bad, and they'll be like, nope, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't have kids, so I can't, like, speak on it a whole lot, but I do feel like a lot often the kids that are getting yelled at and bitched at in public a lot don't have any real consequences.
No, they don't have no consequences,
in public and it's embarrassing, or they're causing trouble to other people, and now you're trying to gather it in. And I'm not saying that that's the case for every scenario, but I think that in public sometimes kids are like, I know my parents aren't serious.
Yeah.
And I'm going to push these boundaries, and there's not going to be any consequences other than them hollering at me.
Kids, sometimes it's almost like the kid says, hey, I'll behave until we get ready to leave if you'll take me to Dairy Queen on the way home.
That too.
And the parent will be like, okay, I'll do it. And for me, a dog's, and my thinking now, I mean, this is a little extreme, but.
The family was supposed to be a different podcast, but here we go.
If you have to put your dog in a crate when you have company, you either need to fix your dog or your company, or both.
This is this podcast.
Okay, we'll skip the family. We're going to go to affection.
You have to talk about this part. What can they do?
When and how much can I be snuggly, sweet, and spoil my dog? All the above that you want, if you can control.
It hurt him to say that.
What?
it hurt you to say that. Yeah.
No, you can do all the above if you are the leader for your dog. Your dog respects you. If you go backwards a page in my notes, if you have an off switch for your dog,
they're not stressed and anxious.
Yeah, if there's no stress, there's no anxiety. You can do whatever you want with your dog, you know. And that's the fun thing about it is we want people to that level. That's what we do for. Yeah. And we have it. I mean, there's no better example in our kennels, I feel. Now, I haven't walked in Moriah's house with Ryder there. But from what she tells me, a kid that works for us with a 120-pound bloodhound Doberman Pinscher mix that used to bite people, that kid followed all the rules so hard.
She's an adult.
She would text me at 9 o'clock at night and just, can I give my dog a bone? She would text me. Yeah. I have a friend coming over and my dog still don't like her. I have to put a muzzle on her when she comes in because my dog don't like her. And I, if I'm awake, because when I go to bed now, I silence my phone and leave it in the living room.
Good job.
I don't want people calling me at midnight because I used to answer the phones about dog problems. But back then it was cow dog problems. But still, this kid followed the rules so far, and her head swells every time I tell her this, you know. But she had, I think, one person left that her dog still had trouble with, and so she muzzled her dog when that girl come over. And here, I don't know, a few weeks ago or whatever, she texted me, and we text back and forth. And then when she came to work, I think the next day, we talked about it because I want to talk to her in person about it. Because it's hard and it's serious when you have this type of dog, and huge dog, you know. And for me, it was a matter, was she ready, Moriah, the owner, was she ready to try to take this next step? And she felt she was. And I said, well, you got to make sure your friend is, and you got to make sure your dog is controllable when your friend comes in. And so the next night or two, she sent me a video with her girlfriend sitting on the couch. I don't even know what the hell she's doing, her toenails or something. And Ryder was wandering around without a muzzle on with her. So it was fun to see. But that kid, it's been 6 months, 8 months or whatever. But she never rushed herself into getting to that point. She would muzzle her dog if she wasn't comfortable and go on with life. And here the other day, she's like, ah, you won't believe what I did last night. I said, there is no telling, Maura. She had both of her dogs and both of her parents' dogs in her bed with her sleeping. I'm like, well, evidently, you can handle that situation. She's
right.
like, I can.
Right.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
But that's been what she wants, you know?
Yeah.
She wants to get, I don't know why, but she wanted a 120-pound dog and a little rat dog sleeping in bed with her. And the fun thing is she took her time to get there each step of the way. And that's what happens to us with the affection. And I'm sure it probably hurt her a lot. She may not admit it. Because some days she wants to act like me, which is not always good. But she, wants to act like she don't have to sit around and pet on her dogs all the time, you know?
I don't think she... I would say that that's one thing I would give her credit for is that, you know, when you like you're paying to see a therapist and you don't really tell them what's going on, they're like, how are you? And you're like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think she was a lot more honest about the, you would say, stupid shit she does with her dogs. You know, like, I think other people who have had a bad dog, they're less likely to be like...
Oh, Mariah, tell you, she don't care. Yeah.
There's hesitancy for people to say. They're like,
But when it comes to the affection part, you know, Mariah's not that affectionate, some people say. But we could be in here But we could be in here doing a podcast, you know. And she could be training dogs, and Bear can be laying on that podium. And she'll have a dog place, and she'll be over hugging and kissing on my dog.
Yeah, I don't think that she hides that, though.
Well, depends on who she's talking to.
I think what you see is that she balances it.
Well, she does balance it, but I think she balances it so much now because of the amount of affection that her dog used to get and the kind of trouble she got into.
Exactly, yeah.
But one day, if you're not careful, it'll be back to hugging on a dog 24/7.
But I think
she will only do it if her dog can handle it, and she can handle it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference with the affection.
But that's because her dog can handle it, because when her dog expresses a behavior that could lead down a bad road, she's serious.
She does. She stops and fixes it. She works on it.
You're going to have a consequence for that behavior, or I'm going to work on some structure this week, or I'm going to do this different, and addresses it rather than, like, I'm going to keep selfishly having all this affection with my dog, but ignore that behavior.
And when it comes to the affection, it's like, I try to talk about all the girls that work here because I don't want to feel like I left one out, but we left Heather out quite a bit here lately. And the only reason we leave Heather out quite a bit here lately is because her dog don't ever get in trouble no more.
No, he doesn't.
And it's so fun because Coda is a rescue dog from Homeward Bound?
Yeah.
We had him here. rehabbing him a little bit from Homeward Bound, and Heather was looking for a dog, and she ended up adopting him. And Heather struggled. She struggled hard with that dog for a while because she would give him too much affection. She would maybe pet on him too much. She'd leave him out of the crate too much. She'd let him follow around too much. Whatever she was doing.
She was, like, as green as could be and was learning the whole way. Like, oh, that's too much?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know I shouldn't do that. Oh, I didn't know this was bad. Yeah.
And so now, with the affection with her dog, her dog can get a lot more affection, and he can get spoiled more. And there's two reasons for it. One is because he does really well now. But the second reason is because Heather can notice whenever he's not being good, or we'll remind her, and then she'll work on that. So the affection differs for every dog and every person, for sure. I mean, some dogs, like my old sport dog I had, my black hanging tree, he didn't even care. He loved to be petted, but he didn't need to be petted, you know. With that cowboy, he'd lay over there 20, 30 feet from me and go to sleep and be perfectly happy. If I call him, he'd come over, lay his head in my lap and go to sleep and be perfectly happy. He didn't care. He didn't have to have the all the petting, hugging, and spoiltness, you know. But for him, I feel a lot of it was because he grew up with me being a cowboy's dog. And a lot of times we'd be out working cattle, and at first, he would be tied back to a fence, you know, or else he'd be placed or whatever. And so he got to see all the activity of me and other people running around chutes and working cows and tying cattle down or whatever we were doing, loading cattle. And he wasn't in the middle of it to get all those hugs of pets. And that's the affection part of this was with the dogs is, like, most people, they can't hug their kid and wrestle with their kid without their dog getting involved in it.
Yeah.
And that's comes back to me and my cowboy. My dog had to lay over there and behave while I was wrestling a cow or calf, or me and other people were doctoring cattle or whatever, you know. And so the amount of affection your dog gets, for me, they've kind of got to earn it, you know. And earn it means they need to learn to be able to lay there and relax while you're petting another dog, you know, or talking to another person, or hugging your kid or your neighbor's kid or whoever, you know, your friend if you've got one, whatever the case may be. But you still have to teach that dog to have an off switch for me to get a lot of the affection and getting spoiled and stuff. Your dog's got to be able to lay and relax, and it should be able to crate. Even if you don't want to crate your dogs, I feel your dogs should learn to be crated. If you ever need to take them to the vet, if you ever need to take a road trip. If you need to take a road trip and you don't have a lot of room in your car, you need to stack stuff on top of your dog crate, and all you have room for is that little hole to put your dog in, then he should be crate trained. And I see that around here once in a while when Bianca goes camping and Brett. And it is different for each dog and person. Like I said, it depends on how much time a person has to sit around and pet on their dogs. There's some mechanic shows, car builder shows I watch, actually, and these guys has dogs, and you never know where they're going to be laying or wandering around at, and then the guys will call them over and ask them questions about the car, you know, just to hang out with them, make some show and let people see their dogs are cool, I guess, and their dogs are really cool because they're not ever getting ran off, they're not ever getting in the way, they don't have to push them out of the way. So the affection those dogs get is kind of cool because of the fact that they can lay over there and watch them build a car or lay over and go to sleep or whatever they might want to do. For the working with rehabilitation in a dog and the amount of affection and stuff, I don't even know if it's really should be a lot difference in the affection. If it's going to be different in an affection with rehab in a dog versus your own dog.
No, that's not what I mean.
Well, go ahead. What do you mean?
I'm talking about their own dog. Like, let's say, remember that Ruby dog, the border collie, that they were like about to maybe they were going to have to get rid of her because she. No, that's Ruth.
Oh.
Ruby was the border collie that bit people, and they have a very busy household and businesses, and they had no room for error on having a dog that bites people when they have kids and stuff coming in and out. That dog, you have to go home, put in the work, be serious, and then you have to be careful when you add in the privileges and affection and how much, how fast, because you have to observe the dog's behavior and see if when you start to add too much back in, if they regress back to the problem behaviors, right?
For me, yeah, the biggest thing about rehabbing dogs like this that Bianca's talking about, dogs that bite people and stuff, or dog fight, it doesn't matter. For me, if you do board and train with us, the dog you're taking, talk about, right, once they go home?
Yeah, yeah.
Once you take that dog home, the last thing you want to do is, especially if it's a dog that kind of gets excited and bites people a little bit, you know?
Yeah, dogs that were like possessive of you or resource guarding or territorial.
So the last thing you want to do is go home and invite Joe Bob over. And when he comes in the house, let him run over and give you a big old hug. Because he's probably going to get bit if your dog's there. So if you're going to get a dog like this and you're going to rehab it, for me, and I said it earlier today, a lot of times you've got to really either muzzle your dog or crate your dog when company comes in. Depends on how good you are with your dog and at his rehabbing and how good the person that comes in the house is at listening to you and not bothering your dog. And then when you let your dog out, you can't just open the kennel door and let him run over and bite your neighbor or your friends, you know. You really got to work with it, you know, and make sure that your dog understands that you are the leader and you, the person that's coming to the house is going to behave. And a lot of times I'll just have that person come in and sit down and be neutral, you know, if I'm going to let that dog out and if I've got confidence.
But with a dog like that, when and how much can I be snuggly, sweet, and spoil?
I wouldn't for a few days at least. I mean, I would just pet him a little bit. I would probably pet this caliber of dog when I'm training on him and he's doing something good.
But when can you start to add in the sweet stuff?
As soon as he's really good with it. I mean, if your dog comes by, he respects you, he can walk away from you and leave you alone. You know, that's one of the harder things is, for me, if you can't send your dog go, then you shouldn't be letting people come over to you and shake your hand and give you a hug. And we do that out here in the field a lot, you know. That's what was working on yesterday with Bruce whenever Bruce was really having a hard time leaving his dad and coming to me because he wanted to get a hug from his dad. And so Bruce is not ready for his owner to have somebody come over and shake hands with him and give him a hug and tell him how much he'd been missing him, you know, or whatever, because Bruce might get himself in trouble because you can't send that dog away. And if for me...
That they're at a different level in that, where they're going to have to earn Bruce believing they're serious?
Well, but everybody here that's going to take their dog home and rehab him, and that's what I was saying a minute ago, is your dog has got to figure out that he's got to accept you for that leader. And if you can't be the leader, or you've got to be the leader. Somehow or another, you've got to step up and your dog has to accept you for a leader. How you can do that, is there's a million and one ways, but one way for me to start out with is crate my dog a lot, get my dog out, train on my dog a lot, make my dog heal a lot, make my dog place a lot, make my dog recall a lot, make my dog walk away from me. I make my dog stay off the couch, the bed, you know, all of those things. And if you have another dog, for me it's a lot sometimes safer to use a good dog than a good friend. Because a good dog is really forgiving. And if you get your good friend dog bit bad, he might not be so much about hanging out with you. But if you have a good dog and you have, let's say, we'll use Bruce, because we've been working with him a lot on this. And they did yesterday, and they did good. They did a lot better with sending him away from him over a dog than sending him away from him to come to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because we had Bear and Mari out there, and we got it to where I would have him to call Bear and Mari, and Bruce would come running, and they'd tell him to go. And they got him to where he'd go 15, 20 feet, which is good enough for now. You know, that's pretty big for him, because he wouldn't go 2 feet. But if you can't send that dog away from you, I'm not going to have you to bring Bear and Mari over to pet him, because then I might get my dogs in a dog fight. My dogs work for me, and I really don't want to get them in a dog fight. I don't want to get nobody's dog in a dog fight. But so for the rehabbing your dogs and how much love, affection, spoil, and what you want to work on, for us, me, we've done the hard part. At in a 3 or 4 weeks, whatever it may be, you know, we've done that hard part. Now you just have to really step your game up in the leadership role, and I don't know, sometimes really try to focus and listen to us when we're telling you, you know, what we're doing while you're here for a lesson. And it's a lot to take in, you know. I mean, holy crap, you're trying to almost learn how to be a dog trainer in a couple hours, but some people do extra 30-minute lessons, you know, which is really good for people with, like, Bruce. Lightning and Thunder, you know. They did it with, I don't know how many dogs here lately, because we've had some pretty honored dogs. But when you're going to rehab your dog at home, you really got to try to keep him out of trouble, you know. That's the hardest part, is if you get overconfident, you know. And for here, if you've done boarding training with us, and like I told them with Bruce, they got family coming in town that they have not seen Bruce since he's a pup. I told them, board Bruce here while they're in town, you know. And it's guys.
Because the people might not have had enough practice to be prepared for that.
Well, that and Bruce don't like men so much, you know, and it's men coming in town.
Yeah, but you don't want them to avoid men.
No, but the rest of the story is, I told them they should, if they have time, set it up so they can bring his brothers here and meet Bruce while he's here. And Bruce will be on a neutral ground, you know, not at home. And then we can help the guys meet Bruce and maybe take Bruce on home that day, you know, if you want to take him home and hang out with you.
I mean, I think it's so cool when families, too, are, like, on board with that, you know, like... Grandma and grandpa are in town, and they come to a lesson to help a dog who's afraid of people because they're going to be over, and that's cool.
If my sister's, if she's like, I got a dog that bites guys, Marvin, but I have a chance to board him somewhere while you're in town, yeah, board him, I'll pay. I just don't want to get dog bit. It's not a hard choice for me, but other people it is.
That's not how the public's like, dogs really love me.
Yeah, they do. They won't bite me. And so, but the rehab,
you can sleep in my room.
Yeah. I'll share the bed with you. But that is the thing is with the rehabilitation on a dog is you always can call us, email us, whatever, text. I don't know how you get a hold of us, whatever works. But And we're always here to help you, but don't go home and be like stuck. Be like, dang, I'm not getting nowhere. If you're not getting nowhere, you need to get a hold of us and we'll figure out what we can do to help you. Boundaries.
You kind of talked about, we're at our hour. Yeah.
We talked about the boundaries really well, you know, and they're the same thing for me as kind of the rehabilitation and the boundaries are the same thing. So we need to get off here, you're saying?
Yeah. Do we have any questions?
Nope. No, no questions. We've got a bunch of people here still hanging out with us.
Thanks for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks, everybody. And should we tell them about any of our products that we sell?
Sure.
Yeah. We sell leashes. We don't have them here. Brett threw them all away while ago because they were in the way.
I'm wearing one.
Oh, yeah. Bianca has one.
My mic is attached.
Here's one that we sell. We don't sell this style. We sell the long lines. We sell all different colors of leashes. These are recycled bicycle tubes. Then we have these that we make out of, biothane?
Biothane.
We make these leashes, all different lengths and size and colors. And then we sell...
Size Mom asked me a question if this would be a good leash for her, and I kind of wondered if you should measure a leash for her.
For Size Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So we sell canine ballistic beds. We sell, what are those other beds?
Coranda. Which I prefer. Sorry.
And then we sell Rufflin crates, and we sell Gunner crates, and we sell New Vet vitamins. We sell Bernie's Perfect Poop.
Probiotics.
And that might be about it. And we train dogs, too, if you need dog training.
We do.
Yeah, we do board and train. We do lessons, do clinics, classes. We'll even teach your dog load up. That's a hard thing for a lot of people. One day we should do a cool video on that. We've probably done 15, but I even have one from the cow dog days, you know, 20 years old or whatever. But so, all right, well, Bianca, we ready?
Yep.
All right, we're going to bail off here. Everybody have a good day. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.